a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome on in. Alex Curie here with you. Special Jazz Notes edition this week. We wanted to bring you someone special, something special, and
But they weren't available.
But they weren't available.
So the B team is here.
Here comes J-Mac from the J-Mac News Show. We appreciate Jay jumping in here into the breaches. I've been kind of just doing this thing where I walk around the building, and I'm like, I want to get your thoughts on the season. Because normally, because expectations were, this is like the, you know, I don't know. There's so many analogies we could draw here about the Jazz's season. At the end, though, I still had friends who went, yeah, but I still thought they were going to pull it off. I was like, pull what off?
Yeah.
And I had, there's a guy in sales who was like, I thought for sure they're going to the NBA Finals. I was like, have you watched the same NBA that I have this year?
I don't know that they're watching the NBA. Are they?
I think there were some people who walked in at the very end.
Yeah.
They peek in the room where the Jazz party was happening, and they go, what's going on here? It's a Jazz party. They did awesome this year. Oh, did they win a championship? No. Oh, I'm not interested. Boom. Shut the door. And I get it. I get that your expectations as a fan and even as a pedestrian fan are you want your team to do really well. But my estimation was they were never your team. If you went, what's the deal? They didn't win the championship? Then I'm done. The exit interviews this year, I was a little, you know, they do the locker clean out, Jay, like the day after they get back.
Yeah.
They got to do the locker clean out. And I don't think that I think the players are, they're so in the mode already of, I got to get out of town. My grandma's going to be making up.
They go fishing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Grandma's got a meal on the table on Saturday. I'm out of here. I don't really care. It gives this feel of, yeah, we look back on the season, but I'm really not here right now.
Yeah.
And it does a disservice to the players because they're like, we had a great year. But and they're not there.
No.
They're totally not there. I watched probably an hour and a half of these exit interviews.
Wow.
Each player, Donovan Mitchell did 20 minutes himself. And I thought, that's a lot of good stuff. He did say, oh, man, I got a lot to work on this offseason. And they're like what? And he goes, defense, offense, shooting, driving, scoring, transition defense. I was like, he basically just named off all the things.
Everything.
But if you're a guy who watches pretty objectively NBA games for the basketball.
Love it.
For the basketball, like,
yes.
You know, you like watching the chess pieces being moved around by the coaches.
I love it. Love it.
So if you were doing it from almost an outsider's point of view, what did the Jazz do this season that you thought, this is what I'm excited about for this team, well, if you're a Jazz fan?
Well, look, here's what I think people don't understand, and that is that this Jazz team, from coaching and play, they outplayed the paper, right? The paperwork, right?
Yeah.
And they followed a great coach and made great adjustments. I would call this year's team an above average team. The problem is that they're in the West, and I want you to think about this: the number one team in the league, Houston Rockets, everybody's predicting they're going to lose. They're the number one team.
Against Golden State,
everyone thinks they're going to get obliterated. So you have these two elite teams, right? And so if ever in your mindset there was this idea that the Jazz could get through Houston and through Golden State, you're just not watching. I mean, that would be the stuff of angels coming down and singing, right? It would be amazing.
It would have to be a miracle.
That's right. It would be an amazing thing. The Jazz outperformed everybody's expectation. They're number one defense in the league. Coaching was amazing. They dealt with injuries in an incredible way. I think that every Jazz fan should walk away thinking these guys – If they could keep this team together, they are positioned for some great things. They need to make a few changes. But I honestly, what change can they make that's going to get them through Houston and Golden State?
What you should be excited about if you're a Jazz fan, and people will go, well, it's not like a college. You're not really recruiting. But Utah has a recruiting problem.
Yes.
In the sense that this is a tough draw for people to be able to convince somebody, hey, man, you want to be in Utah. Now, when the veterans get here, ask Joe Johnson and especially George Hill when he was in Sacramento earlier this year and he was looking at Utah. He's like, I made a huge mistake.
Yeah, but send me back. But
part of it because guys they get to the point where they're like, I want to win and I want some stability. Some of them have family now and they're like, I want some stability. Ask Darren Williams. That's why he kept his family here for so long because of that same feel because Utah was what it was. But when it comes down to it, Utah now can recruit.
Yeah, I totally agree with
Donovan Mitchell and with Quinn Snyder. People want to play with that combo.
Yeah, they're going to be like, this is, like you said it best, players want to win. I mean, the step one, I got to get in the NBA, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, now I'm in the NBA, and if you're a high recruit, you're thinking, now I want to win. And can I win with a bunch of talent that is, they're winning, but there's not really a star. You don't really know what the future is. You look at somebody like Donovan. I think Donovan Mitchell was the number one recruiting draw for the Jazz, right?
It certainly got eyeballs on a team that has a hard time getting eyeballs.
Yeah, and then you add Gobert to that. So now you're like, okay, if I'm going to really, I can go and play with this talent,
right,
and see myself working into that? Because I think, obviously, winning trumps location. Winning trumps everything.
Well, ask the San Antonio Spurs, right?
It trumps absolutely anything. So I totally agree with you. It was a great recruiting year for the Jazz. So maybe there'll be some pieces that they can add in the offseason.
Rudy Gobert was awesome last year on defense. He was amazing last year on defense. And he could have been Defensive Player of the Year last year. Scott Mitchell always says this too. He goes, with the year, my agent told me, When I go, hey man, I had a Pro Bowl season. He goes, yeah, but that won't be honored until next year.
Yeah,
like because it takes a while to kind of ramp you up. You deserved to be Defensive Player of the Year probably last year, and Draymond Green was really good. But obviously, that's going to always go to Draymond.
Yes,
if the question was whether or not you were the better defender, and now Rudy kind of gets that Defensive Player of the Year nod. Probably a year after he should have gotten it. And I think that.
And it goes to Capella next year? Is that what
honestly,
happened?
Honestly, Jay, like, did you see
did
that kind of thing
Capella
happening?
Earn it this year?
That's how things happen, is that now when they kind of go head to head, and Defensive Player of the Year doesn't put eyeballs on your team.
No.
Threes from the U on the court get you eyeballs. And the fact that, you know, the Rookie of the Year thing, the fill in the blank of the year. Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, all these things were in the discussion for the Utah Jazz. No one cares about those things, I'm convinced, except for your points per game average.
Right.
When you got a guy like Donovan Mitchell who's already surpassed that 20-plus point per game thing, and it's going to be off the charts, I think, for this guy going forward, that's what you should be excited for as a Jazz fan. Who cares about Rookie of the Year? I say that because I'm like sad inside because I know he really won't win it. You don't care about Rookie of the Year?
He should win it. He's a true rookie. He should win it.
He's not going to.
And now 76ers, they lost 4-1.
People do this comparison
Simmons,
thing too.
Right?
Ben Simmons,
almost had equal seasons, right?
The votes are already there.
I know.
Jalen Rose already apologized to Donovan Mitchell.
Well, let's talk about this for a minute, though. If the votes continued into the playoffs, does Gobert retain Defensive Player of the Year?
Yeah,
or does Capella steal it from
him? No, because body of work was...
I know, but Capella...
He played out of what the norm was a little bit for him during the season.
From
a numbers perspective, Rudy is feared by way more people, I think, than Clint Capella was. Now, that was before the last couple of weeks.
But, you know, I've watched Houston all year. And Capella has been a beast all year. Has he been Gobert? I don't know. Statistically, no. But as far as his work ethic, Gobert looks tired when he's standing next to Capella.
Doesn't look as strong either.
He looks lazy. standing next to Capella to me. I hate to say it. My opinion of Gobert dropped considerably in this last series because I'm watching Capella run end to end, and I'm watching Gobert get frustrated by calls, and I'm watching him hang out on plays and things like that. And I watch Embiid do this last night in the 76ers game. You know, Embiid with his face mask. There's a time when he's open for the pass, and they don't give him the pass. Did you see this? They showed it. And he like pouts.
He does.
Off in the corner.
He has a little bit of this diva thing.
You don't see that from Capella. No. And I saw that from Gobert as well.
It's part about knowing who the guy is. You know, and when Rudy was asked about that, hey, how the Houston media loved to go, hey man, what did you think about Clint Capella? And he was like, he's a good basketball player. And you're going, yeah. And you just don't want to be like taken over as the you're the defensive player of the year, and you got to sell that. And you got to do it. All right.
Let me just say this quickly. I think that Gobert's skill set is better than Capella's, but Capella's work ethic and his effort on the court outweighs what Gobert does.
Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals. Who ends up in the finals playing each other?
Well, it's going to be Cavaliers on the one side.
On the East.
And it'll be Golden State on the other.
Okay, so you don't give – that's what the NBA wants too, right?
Yeah. No, I give the Celtics two games.
Okay.
That's what I'm giving them. I think that Houston, Golden State could go seven. I would love it to go seven games, you know, because I just love good basketball. Watching these – by game six, it is going to be so chippy. They're going to be beating each other up so much, and Draymond is going to be wreaking so much emotional havoc. That's one of the reasons you want a series to go long.
Draymond Green has already gone third person.
Yeah.
And started talking about Draymond Green. Draymond Green doesn't need anybody to get in Draymond Green's face. I'm like, yes.
He's going Karl Malone.
I love it. He's going Malone. Jay, thanks for being with me.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Stay with us. Cougar Sports Saturday continues right here on KSL News Radio.